Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Jeeves, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast. This is episode number 98, and I am your host, Beam Weeks. And I want to start off by saying, bringing a mention in here for a couple of regulars that are usually in our audience, Verwayne Greenhill. He's been having some health issues, so we are sending prayers and well wishes to him and his wife, Lisa. And Dr. Helen Burrell, she's been ill with pneumonia, and she's also had a cancer battle. And we have set up a GoFundMe page. If you go around to the Fresh Ink Group Facebook page, you'll find ways that you can help out there if you're so inclined. We're also sending prayers and well wishes to Dr. Helen, and we wish them both the best, and hopefully we can have them back in our audience before too long. And with me here, as usual, is my co-host, Mr. Stephen Jeeves. How you doing, Stephen?
I'm doing great. I'm back in Alabama after coming up to visit Michigan. As you know, we went and saw Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. That was a great
fantastic show.
And then back in Alabama here last night, we went over to Atlanta to see Steely Dan, which is also a great show. That was an outdoor concert, 96 degrees and so humid, you could almost literally swim from one seat to the next. It was just ridiculous. But it's beautiful down here. It's lightning bug time. The third species of lightning bugs is hatching now. So every evening at dusk, it looks like a fairyland out there, which is really cool. And even though we're missing Patricia A. Guthrie from our audience tonight because she had an event she had to attend, we're working on her book, Water Lilies Over My Grave. In fact, I'm working on the titles for the book cover tonight. The artwork was just delivered to me. And Pat would appreciate the fact that the lake here, which is 212 square miles. I mean, this lake is so big, you can look out the car window and see it and literally drive 30 miles and still look out the car window and see it. I mean, it's a huge lake. And right now, the water lilies are blooming. So as you drive down the highway, you look off to the side and you can see acres and acres and acres of beautiful water lilies all blooming on the surface. So here's to Pat Guthrie and her upcoming book, Water Lilies Over My Grave. We're looking forward to having that. We've also got a happy birthday. Our author and Fresh Ink Group member, Dr. Margaret R. Shearer, MD, co-author of three books with her husband, hit 94 years old this week. So happy birthday, Peggy.
Happy birthday, Margaret. Yeah. Now, I had already mentioned Dr. Helen Burrell's GoFundMe page. And if you are so inclined to help out a little bit, go over to Facebook, find Fresh Ink Group LLC. That is our Fresh Ink Group page. Scroll on there, and that's posted over there. And there's a link that'll take you to the GoFundMe page. And Dr. Helen, she's up there in age, and she's pretty much been homebound for a few years now and bedridden during this this battle. So she can't. She's got a psychology practice, and she hasn't been able to do that. So she's in need. She's definitely somebody who's in need. So we hope that some of our listening audience might be able to help out and contribute to that.
Yeah, definitely. I had the privilege this week of going down to Geraldine, Alabama, to the city park where they were having a festival on over the weekend, and got to see Leah Seawright, country music star Leah Seawright, and her husband, Mark Herndon, who was the drummer for Alabama, the band Alabama, for almost 30 years, and is in the Country Music Hall of Fame. And is, you know, was friends with people like Charlie Daniels and, you know, lots of name dropping and stuff like that. We published his memoir called The High Road, which he wrote after he left the band Alabama, kind of unceremoniously, as it were. And he told the history, the story, all the way back from his own childhood through those years in Alabama. And he took the high road while he was telling it. It's a nice, wonderful book.
It's just a fun book.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great piece of music history. It's a country music history. And Mark and Lee are just nice people. I knew a 13-year-old drummer who was a fan of his, so I had him autograph some drumsticks for him and take some pictures and stuff. And I just want to say, anytime you have an opportunity to support Leah C. Wright and or Mark Herndon, make sure you do that. And if you've not seen his book, the memoir, The High Road, get out there and check it out. It tends to be one of our perpetual bestsellers. So it was
indeed
a good treat being able to go see them in person. I'll throw a few pictures on Instagram and out there.
Yeah, I am currently editing Andrew McGregor's How to Paint an American. This is it's a fun story. It's interesting. It's dark. There's a little bit of darkness in there, but it's a really good book. So we'll keep you updated on that. And I'm also working on a couple of audio books. Jenny Wong's Girl Wears Those Shoes. I am getting near the end of that one. I'm in part 7. I just started part 7, and I think there's 9 parts and then some closing credits and whatnot. But so hopefully I get those done before too long and it'll be in your hands. Also working on Ellie Collins, Mad Max and Sweet Sarah. Now this one is taking a little bit longer. The voice artist is working at a different pace, so I'm waiting on those. But hopefully that'll be ready to go sometime in the next couple of months or so. And I think that's about it on those. But again, keep an eye out for the newsletter. We'll let you know what's going on with that when they're ready, and also listen to this show. So if you want to participate in tonight's episode with our guest, if you have a question or comment, you can call or tweet, and here's how you do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest, or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet, and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right.
Now, Ingram, which is the big parent company over the biggest distributor in the U.S. and one of the biggest printers in the U.S. now, and the biggest print-on-demand printer, and they also have various programs and outlets, like they have one for self-publishers called Ingram Spark. They have programs for publishers such as Lightning Source and others. They've been using these 500 feet per second Hewlett-Packard presses. And I went up to Laverne, Tennessee a few years ago and checked those things out. Boy, they're impressive. Boy, you're watching paper that's like 10 feet wide going by at 500 feet a second. Don't reach up, because we're talking paper cut that'll cut your arm off. I mean, that stuff is flying. But it's very impressive. But anyway, they've expanded the capabilities of some of their big presses now, and they can do right-side binding, which is pretty much like a Japanese book market. Most books printed in Japan are bound on the right side, and they read from right to left. So by offering this kind of printing now, right-to-left binding, it opens up new non-English content, such as Japanese language manga. Man, that's a huge market in publishing, is manga. Hebrew, Arabic content, graphic novels that would go that direction, manhwa genre, things like that. They can also do duplex printing on the insides of the covers now. And they have full right-to-left capability, and they have added some custom trim sizes, including the standard manga trim sizes as well. So those of you who are authors and artists who are especially interested in doing things for the Asian market where things need to be bound on the right side, hook up with a publisher like Fresh Ink Group, because we have contracts. We can use Ingram print-on-demand plants in 5 countries. Let's see, 7 countries. 7 countries, I think, the last time I looked, 27 plants outside the U.S. plus 7 in the U.S. That will all have that capability now. And if you're like an Ingram Spark user, you do self-publishing, you do Ingram Spark, pay attention to that as well. So this is good news, new capabilities in the publishing industry, especially if your printing is through Ingram or any of its subsidiaries.
See that there? We're getting fancy, people.
I'm telling you.
Audiobooks. Robert G. Willis Cross, The Orc Federation, To the Stars, The Second Orc Chronicle, is now available for sale on Audible. And it will be available on Amazon and iTunes within the next few days or so. So keep an eye out for that. But get over to Audible. Grab your copies. These are fun to make. This is a good story. It was fun to put together. And if you're not familiar with how we do audiobooks, man, we add sound effects and just they're sensory enhanced. So
there you go.
Get over there and grab yourself a copy.
And if you want to know, make you tingle.
Yeah. And if you want to know the latest on a lot of these releases that we have, subscribe to our newsletter. And if you don't know how, here's how.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's an official show now. Yep, I've checked over and seen what our print sales are looking like, and as of about an hour ago, here are our top five bestsellers in print. Again, much to my surprise, Maximizing Happiness Through Intimate Communication, third edition by Dr. Marshall L. Shearer and Dr. Margaret R. Shearer, both MDs. Maximizing Happiness, it's a relationship book, how to solve problems in your relationship, how to build it, how to grow it, how to make it stronger, how to understand the dynamics of how it works and make it work for everybody. Maximizing Happiness is our number one print bestseller. Next one, again, much to my surprise, The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, The History, People, and Stories of CFW Construction, based in Fayetteville, Tennessee. We are finding lots of people all over the country and even in several countries around the world are very interested in what happened with this company. Third one, I think you've heard of this one, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip by Mark Herndon, Country Music Hall of Fame drummer, 26, 7, 8, something like that, years with the country band Alabama. 28? Yeah.
28.
Close to 30. Maybe he's up there. But at any rate, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, is our number three print bestseller this week. Number four, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Florida. That book's starting to take off, and we are in the process of putting together Tennessee and Georgia to have those out in the next month or so. And then finally, number five, one that keeps popping on and off the list, Hello, Chattanooga, Famous People Who Have Visited the Tennessee Valley. You like that book, Beam?
I do. It was a fun book. I got to work on that a little bit and had a blast doing it. We have a couple of things here over on Twitter. Robert G. Willis Cross's The Orc Federation to the Stars audiobook just went live on Audible. Then he said again, The Orc Federation is already available on Amazon.
Oh, and that was fast.
Joe Congel says, good evening, everybody, everyone. Well, good evening to you, too, good sir, and it's good to have you in the audience.
And
Stephen just read you the top sellers there. We have some new releases coming up, books. Next up, we've got Water Lilies Over My Grave by Patricia Guthrie, The Calling Dream by Carlisle Toms, Still Not Enough, Minority Millennials in the Workforce by Janelle A. Jordan, and How to Teach Driving. This is both the parents' guide and the instructor's editions as well. So keep your eye on the newsletter and on this show. And if you missed this show and you want to catch it, or if you there's a certain episode that you really enjoyed that you want to listen to again, here's how you find those in our archives.
If you miss a show, find us in the archive in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, on Spotify, or under the podcast tab at freshinkgroup.com, beamweeks.com, and stephengees.com. On YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe.
All right.
All right.
Now, I've got one quick mention here. We do not have the ORT Federation loaded up as a commercial to run tonight. I wasn't expecting that to be on the list. But there's a cool, very cool video for it. It's in the YouTube channel, Fresh Ink Group, where we're always looking for subscribers. And I'm telling you, when somebody subscribes to that Fresh Ink Group channel, we get up and dance. And considering I've got a bad back and have had several surgeries lately, that's quite a feat to get me to get up and dance a jig. But get over there and check out the video for The Ort Federation by Robert G. Willis-Croft. Very cool. And check out that book, too. Beam, before you get into Mary's bio, you want to go ahead and run the Sammy commercial, get things set up a little bit?
Sure.
And then we'll learn who this author is.
Kids can get hungry sometimes while on chemo, says 5-year-old Sammy, having a good day despite the malignant tumor invading his brain. Based on true events from the 1980s, Sammy's story is imagined by his mother and brother, authors M. Schmidt and Gene D. Donnelly, as if the young boy might tell it himself. The result is gripping. Told in two parts, Sammy's account first invites us into the everyday middle American lives of a mom and her two boys. Sammy is a sweet, good-hearted kid, even as he faces the most difficult challenges in part two, Cancer Arrived. Here Sammy talks us through hospital trips and procedures, the hardest parts as well as moments of simple joy. It is not always possible to survive such a grim diagnosis, so Sammy and his family must embrace the smaller victories from one day to the next. Finally, our young hero is given one last opportunity to find his own unique path toward triumph. Adults and teens will find Sammy's story compelling, as will older children ready to confront such a challenging subject. Grab your own copy and several gift copies of Sammy's story in dust-jacketed, cloth-bound hardcover, trade paperback, or whatever ebook format you favor, from Barnes & Noble's Nook and Amazon's Kindle to Kobo, iTunes, Google Play, and more. Sammy, Hero at Age 5, is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Sammy, Hero at Age 5. Listen closely as Sammy tells us all what matters most.
All right, and that is by Mary L. Schmidt. Mary L. Schmidt, a.k.a. S. Jackson, is a retired registered nurse, winner of the Leora Straub Award in Nursing for Academic Excellence and Community Involvement, as well as graduating with high honors and inducted into the Sigma Theta Tau International Honor Society of Nursing. She has written more than 20 books and has been included in 3 anthologies. And with that, welcome to the show, Mary. It's good to have you back.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, hi, guys. It's good to be back. It's wonderful to be back.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah, Mary is a return guest.
It's pretty hot here.
Yeah, it's been hot here.
Remind everybody where you are, Mary.
Well, at the moment, I'm in the middle of Kansas.
In the middle of Kansas.
But I'm usually between the Lakewood, Colorado, and the middle of Kansas. And right now, the middle of Kansas is hot and humid. So I'm not going out.
Yeah. Yeah, hot and humid is the way it is here, too. I was driving around this afternoon, and the dashboard kept saying 95, 96, 97. Aren't you glad you're not out there? But last night it was that Steely Dan concert. That was Chastain Park in Atlanta, and there is no parking, so we wound up having to walk up and down hills for about a half a mile from the car to that place. 96 degrees and humid. Wow. So you're out there getting by staying in the air conditioning, Mary.
I plan to. We gotta stay cool too.
Okay, so Mary, this is your second time on the show. Where do you want to start on this? We're going to kind of let you do you want to do the books right now?
Sure. We can talk books first.
Because I think that a lot of this
with my very first book.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I think a lot of this other stuff we've already gone over the last time we were on. So, all right, let's start with the first book.
So is When Angels Fly your first book?
That's my very first book.
Okay.
Very first book, and at this time it is published through Fresh Ink. It's in its third It's the third time to be published. And it has a beautiful cover with my son on it as an angel, and I really love the cover.
Yeah.
The How My Son's Face came out, I love it. So,
yeah.
When Angels Fly is takes you through a lot of different emotions, but essentially my youngest son had cancer, and he was misdiagnosed for a long time, and he did eventually pass away at age 5. He was free of cancer when he passed away. Nothing could be found on autopsy. Unfortunately, something happened to his lungs, and it didn't go well, and you can't, he received lung damage, and you can't ventilate that. So, anyways, Sammy, what Sam does is he's Eli in the book, and he teaches everyone what really matters in life and how to, for parents to help, when their child is in the hospital, how parents can make a big difference as far as being active in their child's illness and treatment plan, and how to not make staff be uncomfortable or not want to take care of your child, because you need to pick your battles. As you know, if they're late by an hour on hanging an antibiotic, don't worry about that, because you don't know what's happened on a nursing unit. And as me as a nurse, I know things happen all the time. On the other hand, if your child doesn't get pain medicine within 30 minutes, or if they have the wrong medicine hanging on them, then of course you're going to get a nurse right away. So you have to pick your battles. Don't make them not want to take care of your child. And
how long?
Really, my son, he was really able to appreciate the positive and beauty of life. And he was life. He lit up the hospital.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. It can be heartbreaking, especially if you have feelings, you know, like a human being. It could definitely be heartbreaking, but it's reaffirming and even inspiring. But it is a cautionary tale as well, you know, for parents, all parents, you know, their number one focus is protecting their children, and sometimes that's a challenge. And this book recounts both everything that Mary and her husband went through, but the family and all the people who were affected as well. So, yeah, it's a beautiful book, definitely. Did you write this right away after losing Sammy, Mary, or did you wait some time?
Sam died in 1990. So.
Okay. When did you write the first version of the book?
The first version came out in 2015.
Okay. So.
And then it needed further work, and so I did additional work on it. I can't really edit my own work very good. I can look at other people and I can see things, but I can't edit my own very good, because especially this book, because I lived it and raised it day in and day out for months and months. He was in the hospital for 7.5 months.
Wow.
And so when you're in a major medical center, I'm going to say the real one in the book, it doesn't say it, but we were at KU Med in Kansas City. Is where we were in real life. And when you've got all that going on and you've got another child still at home 230 miles away and you're trying to protect everybody and you want to protect your children, you can't be in two places at the same time.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But Sam's love for life and squirting doctors and nurses and pulling tricks, it's all in there. So you get a lot of his hijinks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can actually find yourself laughing sometimes.
Oh,
when you're
reading definitely.
A part of it. So, of course, you get the illness and the things like that, but then you get things that are lighter.
Yeah.
So it's going to pull up pretty much all of your emotions.
It will. So what all's in the book? Do you have photos, anything to support it? Is it just little stories? Is it a lot of the background? Do you talk a lot about Sammy before the diagnosis? Is that when it starts? Give us some flavor for what's in there.
It's actually a book, and it's written in three parts. After finishing, the first part is my life with my mother and how she was. And she was she never showed love to any of her children, none of them.
Hmm.
But I was a scapegoat, because there always has to be a scapegoat somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the kids she had, I was a scapegoat. And there was a lot of abuse. And I went from that abusive situation when I turned 18, I just went into another one with a boyfriend. And so the cycle went on. And, of course, I'm out of that now, but it went on. And it became more and more abusive. And then I got pregnant. And I thought, okay. So I wasn't being hit or anything, but then at my last sonogram, my baby boy, I had strangled on his umbilical cord, and so they had to end his labor. So in the book, he's named Joshua, I want to say, but in real life, his name was Shane, and he came out perfect, but he did strangle on his cord, and I was really... That took me down further than anything else in my entire life. That took me down.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't long, and boom, I was pregnant again. And that son is he's working out in L.A. He works in aerospace, so that's where he's at now.
Hmm.
And he helped write the next book we're going to talk about, too. Back to the other part, I did... finally leave my ex-husband. I got away. That was after I had my third son. Eli in the book, in real life, Sam, or Sammy. And so I had him and my middle son in the book. His name is Noah. And so I took them, and we moved out in the middle of the night. We waited until he was asleep, and then we took our chance, and we moved out. When we got out, he was drunk and asleep. My son out in California was 6 years old when we moved out. I moved him out. And he remembers his father bashing my head so hard into a kitchen wall that it broke the plaster and everything. It is a hole. There's a hole there.
Wow.
That's terrible.
Now,
so are there pictures in When Angels Fly?
There are quite a few pictures in there. I'm not sure. I don't know how many. I think maybe 12, 10 to 12.
Yeah.
Not sure.
It's about that, I think,
Just different things going on with my son and just his shenanigans. You know, he always had a smile. Even though one side of his face didn't work, okay, one side of his face was flaccid because of the main tumor had really messed up the facial nerve, so he had a facial palsy on one side. But the other side was smiling, and you could see the sparkles in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Now you in this book you changed names and whatnot, but
I did
is the actual story, right?
It is the real story. Everything is real. I wrote this from journals. I kept journaling at the hospital, day in and day out. Things that happened. And there were a lot of things. But I kept journals. And so, it just came out. First, I wasn't even going to write it as a book. But I wanted to put it into digital format so that my living son could have that because, you know, he might not be able to read my writing. And then after I did that, I thought, okay, maybe I should do more, maybe publish. And I just thought, okay, I'll be a one-book author. That's what I considered myself to be when it finally did get published. I considered myself to be a one-book author, and now I'm published over 30. So that's how it went.
That's a good run, 30
books. I didn't like the manuscript, and so I reworked it and everything, and then I republished it on my own through Ingram Spark. And then it still needed some more. It needed something. People were leaving a lot of reviews, but it needed a little more work, and that's when I went through you guys. So you had that book, and then you had the one that it kind of goes with it, and that's Sammy. He wrote H5, and that one is it has Sam's name on it, his real name. It's, excuse me. It comes, and this is not easy to do, but it comes from the voice of a five-year-old. I need to take a drink of water, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Mary, we're going to take a break and run a couple of commercials here, and then we'll talk in great detail about Sammy Hero at age five. Let's mention real quick, too, over on Twitter, Joe Conjol. Says, hi, Mary. I just wanted to acknowledge and thank you for your consistent support with your Pinterest posts. And we're going to ask you about your Pinterest board in a minute here. And Joe adds, I can't even imagine what you and your family went through. Did you find that writing the book was cathartic in a way? And we'll come back to that question, too. And Joe Spraga says, I'm still here, and I'm glad you are all here, too.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. We'll go ahead and run these commercials, and we'll get to Joe Conjol's question, and we'll talk about Sammy Hero at age five. You want to run two of them, Beam?
Learning about autism, one mother's journey of discovery and love, a charter school, teaching methods, and resources is the book millions of families must have. Carol Tucker travels the road of autism and cerebral palsy with her adopted son, Justin, now a young man who routinely astounds physicians with his achievements. She is a special education teacher, recognized leader in children's advocacy, and one of the founders of Florida's first charter school for autism, where she served as director. Through photos and stories, best-selling author Karen Ingle shares Carol's journey, then offers a wealth of resources, teaching methods, school choices, and financial assistance options. With Karen's unique insight, learning about autism shows how one very determined mother and her family can rise above daunting challenges to thrive and find happiness. Learning About Autism is published worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
Hey adults, I'm author Ellie Collins. Check out my first three novels in my mythology series where Greek goddesses help us teens resolve problems from bullying to relationships. Now in print, digital, or audiobooks with music and sound effects. Book one is Daisy Bold and Beautiful.
After a moment or two of silence, laughter filled the room and students quickly began comparing notes on who had read the directions and who had fallen for the trick. DJ shared a smile with Hudson, as they both belong to the Figured It Out group.
Book two is Miley in the Mirror.
Sam shot a cocky grin in Miley's direction. She didn't want him getting the idea she was fangirling on him or anything, and run the risk of future game invitations.
Mad Max and Sweet Sarah is the new third book, so we're still producing the audiobook version. Go to freshinkgroup.com or your favorite retailer to learn more and order now.
Yeah, and don't forget to go over to YouTube and find the book trailers for these books that we play these commercials on here as well. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, definitely. So Mary Jo's asking, did you find that writing the book was cathartic in a way?
It was. But it was also, excuse me, I don't know what's going on here.
Losing your voice?
I think it's just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I had dental surgery 2 days ago. So.
Wow.
Yes, I saw the picture. I saw the picture on Facebook. It did not look like you had fun.
No, and actually, I had something today with some of the bruising, because I still have bruising and swelling. But what I'm doing is I've got one area that's still bleeding a little bit, so that gives me a calm.
Well, Voice of Indy, the podcast people bleed for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay, well, you gave Joe a yes answer. Do you want to elaborate on that at all, about it being cathartic and how you felt getting it out?
Because I needed to get it out. I needed to get all of this out from 1990. I needed to get it out and get it into words and just get it out, because I needed to get it out of my mind and my head. I had to get it out of me and into a format where, so that I can make peace with everything, because it took me that long.
I think writing that down the way you did, too, I think probably gives you a different perspective on it, a wider perspective maybe as well.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And, you know, I took my journal, could be 2 pages long on any given day, you know, and just things that are going on or thoughts that went through my head and things like that, or shenanigans that Sam did. But everything, the names and the places are changed, but everything's true. Everything.
Yeah, my impression all along has been that the first book was the frustrated, angry, grieving mother who had to get it out and tell the story, and also wanted the world to know about her son and what she lost and everything that went through or whatever. And then when you switch to Sammy and you decided to do it from his point of view, that was getting inside his head and actually showing, and nobody would know like his mother, showing what he was feeling, what he was experiencing. And that, if you talk about empathy, really pulls you in. What made you want to do another version of Sammy's story like that, from that point of view?
Because there's kids out there fighting cancer.
There are.
And they have siblings. And this is from a five-year-old's point of view. And it has different shenanigans that he did throughout his short life, and other things that went on, of course, but just childhood recollections and then his cancer. But being told as a five-year-old is not the easiest thing to do, but it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he did fight, and basically it really hangs on to that of a child, I think, and the way they see things. And he met Jesus before he ever died.
That's a good thing.
And I didn't know, and he told me about it, and I had no idea.
And that's in the book?
Yeah. It's in either Angels or Hero at Age 5. It's in one of them. Could be in both.
Yeah.
Actually. But my boys, they had about a year between them, so. But there's a lot of things that they did, like riding the red three-wheelers out in a garage, you know, and here comes my middle son saying, "Oh, you got to come out of the garage." And then I go out there and I find Sam, and there he is, and he's riding his three-wheeler closer and closer to a coiled king-sized bull snake. I'm thinking, oh, that could hurt him, yeah. You know, that's his, he was daring.
Hmm.
He was daring.
Yeah.
And then he would be, and then sometimes he would tell on his brother. And so, like, one day he came in and he said, "Mom, Gene's doing it again." And I said, "What's he doing?" "He's picking them radishes out of the garden and he's eating them." He just pull one out, you know, and wipe it on his shorts and pop it in his mouth. It's just things that they did. It, keeps it on a much lighter side. It keeps it where kids from age 5, even age 4, and on up into the teenage years, they can help understand what's happening with themselves or with their sibling who has cancer. And it's enlightening, and it's happy because of all of the shenanigans, all the little stories, and all of those stories are true, every one of them. That's why he always thought I had eyes in the back of my head, because I knew when something was going on. I knew when they were up to something.
Yeah. Now, Sammy Hero at age 5 also has pictures, too, very poignant pictures showing Sammy in his day-to-day activities, and also, you know, closer to the end when you could see his face, the difference, and see the bandages and things as well. The books do not shy from the reality of what this is really all about.
Yeah, you know, and I want to just say this, because, you know, Sammy was so young when he was going through the cancer, and he had, as you pointed out, siblings. My little brother had leukemia, and we lost him but he was 39 and I was 43, and that was devastating to me at 43. So I can't even imagine what it's like a small child in going through that from the point of view of us, just, you know, from being a sibling and watching your brother go through that.
It's tough, especially if you're a child.
Yeah. Confused and trying to understand.
Yeah. It's completely life-altering. And I'm going to say something, and it's my son's choice, and he's not going to change his choice. My living son, I have one living son, but he's decided he's never going to have children. He decided it when he was a teenager. But he only told me about 5 years ago. Said he's never going to have children because there's no way that he's going to have one and then have a child that ends up having cancer. And cancer is rampant in my family. Different cancers. I've had different cancers. Obviously, I survived all of mine. But thus far, anyway. But my son, it's been such trauma for him, losing his little brother, his best friend, best playmate, and he just won't do it. And I understand what he's saying. He mentally, emotionally won't take the chance.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to a good time to run a commercial. We've got a commercial for the ABCs of Surviving Cancer, which is written by our own Tammy Trover, and it's written for children and families and friends of children who are facing cancer. And it's told by Cornelius, the cancer-fighting crocodile, in verses with beautiful artwork, beautiful children's book. So if you want to go ahead and roll that commercial for us, Beam?
All right.
Cornelius is our cancer fighter. He's here to make our days much brighter. It's his job to help you know you're never alone wherever you go. Cornelius will guide and show you too. So let's fight the fire of cancer in you. A is for alive, that's what I am. This is my story and how it began. When cancer came in and changed my days, changed my thoughts, changed my ways. Hi everybody, my name is Tammy. And like so many of you around the world, I too am a cancer survivor. I wrote the ABCs of Surviving Cancer, Alive, Beautiful, and Courageous, for people of all ages. My book is fun, informative, and most of all, heartfelt. It's a way to give confidence to young people, as well as families and friends, to educate those who know a young person facing the challenge of cancer, and to bring everybody together with empathy and understanding. This book is beautifully illustrated. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer guides us through the alphabet with a 16-line poem for every letter. Some of the topics include C is for courageous, H for hope, J for joy, O for own it, P for patience, T for truth, V for victory, and Y for you. Join me in this journey of reassurance and understanding, and share it with the people you love. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer is available in hardcover, softcover, and popular ebook editions such as iBook, Kindle, and Nook. Order yours through every major bookseller worldwide or through my website, TammyTrober.com. The ABCs of Surviving Cancer is proudly published by the Fresh Ink Group.
There's a video for that one over on YouTube as well. So get over there and check that out. Like, subscribe.
Yeah, that's a very cool book. It's and you authors should be interested in this too. She's planning on launching a series with other topics besides cancer, which would be for children and their families to learn about dealing with things. And when she started putting this together, she went and she got sponsors. So in the back of the book, we put display ads. Which helped her defray all of her costs and putting all this together. Yeah. So if you're putting out that kind of a book that, you know, where maybe some sponsors could help support it, keep that in mind.
Indeed.
So Mary, Sammy, hero at age 5, now your next step in telling Sammy's story is you're working on a prequel to When Angels Fly?
I am starting a prequel. The title is Her Alibi, and it will be a two-hour short read, and it's going to involve how I was used as an alibi in the shooting of my stepfather.
Your stepfather?
Yeah, I remember you told that story the last time you were on.
Yep.
So that's basically what it's going to be. It's not, my mother did not murder him, but she did shoot him, and she did use me as an alibi. Now, he didn't die of his gunshot wound, but die he did. And I'm not going to say the rest of it because that's too much information right now.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to buy the book.
No spoilers.
Now, I did do a sequel to When Angels Fly. I have a sequel called Her Heart. And that is a two-hour memoir romance short read. I painted the cover on it because I love digital. I like art, period, so. Anyway, so it's a story where a woman wonders if she can actually finally find real love in her life, and she didn't feel worthy enough to be loved. She didn't feel like she could trust anybody. But it all comes together, and it's a good romance. I don't know if you've read it or not, but it's a...
I haven't. It's called Her Heart, and that's available now.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Is it print and digital?
Print and digital.
Great.
Yes, everything. All of my books are print and digital. Okay. I have a Shadow and Friends series of 12 books that are all for kids, but I'm not actually going to talk about them this evening. But Her Heart is special because I struggled with moving on and being with another person and believing that I was worthy. And that happens to a lot of women. And so women can relate to a lot of things that they'll read in that. Plus, it's not going to keep you, it's not an epic book like When Angels Fly, so it doesn't take that as long. But, there's ups and downs and things that get worked out, but it's also things that happened. So, you have to come to, for a person who, such as me, who had the kind of life that I had, for me to feel like I was worthy, good guy, wanting me, was a lot of work. And other women, I think they have struggles too. Some, not all, but some.
So
there is hope in finding true love.
Well, that sounds cool.
It is, I think.
So, Beam, let's run a couple more here. Let's show two more of our children's books, and then we'll talk to Mary about Baby's Dragon Castle, Tommy Turbo, and see what kind of records she's setting with her Pinterest book board.
Okay.
Princess Lil, the Hippocampus.
Princess Lil is a sad pony. Her little girl grew up and went away. Now Lil is in a scary place with lots of mean ponies. A fun furry farm cat called Taffy and a nice roan horse named Pearlie try to help. It even looks like Princess Lil might have a chance to cheer up special needs children too, but she is already too hurt and too sick. Princess Lil is about the differences between loyal friends and those who bully others. It shows the power of caring about ourselves and the people who look out for us. Is it too late for a sad pony in a scary place? The answer just might depend on how much we all love Princess Lil. Grab copies of Princess Lil for all the little girls in your life. Available worldwide in softcover and all ebook editions. Or you can share the audiobook as read by author Nell Cooper. Princess Lil is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
Think of your brain as a place to learn, like school. Turns out, the hippocampus is really one part of your brain that helps you make and save memories. The Hippocampus, the interactive brain book, fun learning for science lovers, uses hippos to teach young readers all about different parts of the human brain. From keeping the heart beating and blood flowing to breathing and dreaming, your brain does many things for you, even when you don't think about it. This includes sneezing, sleeping, running, playing, and even digesting that meal you ate for lunch. But think about this. Without your brain, you couldn't smile or laugh or wink or read. The hippocampus helps you decide what's happening and what to remember right now. The Hippocampus by Helen Burrell, PhD, offers young thinkers and readers of all ages an easy way to learn all about that gray matter that matters most. Available in hardcover, softcover, and ebook editions, the Hippocampus helps us learn about our place to remember. The Hippocampus is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
All right. Now, before we move into the Pinterest thing, Joe Conzo over on Twitter, he has a question for you, Mary. He said, Mary, do you ever see yourself writing any type of genre fiction in the future?
I might just do that. I do write a lot of fiction, but they're the children's books. But I'm thinking about branching out into, once I have Her Alibi completed and that's taken off and everything and I'm done with that, then I'm thinking about going into something that is fiction. Not romance. I want to go into something that is more sci-fi.
Ooh.
I'm a Star Trek and a Trekkie and everything I do. I love everything sci-fi. I have gone to Comic Cons and stuff for sci-fi, okay? Just saying, I'm putting it out there. I've been there. I've never been a cosplayer, but I've taken a lot of pictures of them. I love sci-fi. So, yeah, I'm thinking about that.
Well, that would be very cool. But in the meantime, you're doing all these great children's books, beautifully illustrated, well-written, poignant topics or whatever. Tell us about Baby's Dragon Castle.
Well, Baby's Dragon Castle is a book because I wanted children. I was getting tired of, you know, black individuals, all the racism going on. I was tired of people who were making fun of others that maybe had half a leg or used a wheelchair, all those kinds of things. And so this picture book came about. It's so that kids could learn about the differences and how to accept everyone. And so it's told with a story that there's a little, they're having a big Christmas party at Davy's Castle. He's a big old dragon, and he's not a mean dragon. He's a really good fun dragon and everything. And children get to see a character that wears a prosthetic leg, and they get to understand that it doesn't stop that character from moving around the castle and doing things that all of the other kids were doing. And there was a bear family that came up to the castle. And so the only people that could come, or the only characters that could come to the castle party, were the ones that knew where the castle was. And if you didn't know, you would never know how to get there. But if you knew where it was, then you were welcome, because obviously Davy wanted you there.
So Davy has a prosthetic leg?
No. One of the smaller dragons is called a squee dragon. And he has a prosthetic leg, but he still flies around and does all kinds of things. And so everything is good. And they have a nice time. It's set at Christmas time at the castle. Davy has people that work there, and they live in Dragon Town. So that is what's going on. So the Dragon Town, everybody works at the castle, and then every year they have this is a book that doesn't need to be read at Christmas time, but it does take place at Christmas time. And there are some characters that come up to the door, and one of the little helpers there wouldn't let them in because they didn't look the way they did. They were different shaped characters, and they were different colors. And Davy gently told, I think it was Lisa Ferry, everyone is welcome, and that nobody is turned away, no matter the color of their skin or anything else. Differences and disabilities, yes. And actually, it went to number one on acceptance and inclusion. It went to number one on disability and differences, and it just went to the number one in two different categories.
That's terrific.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's quite a feat for a children's book.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's starting to rack up awards, so it's like, okay,
great,
I'll take them.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So the book Tommy Turtle, who is Tommy?
Tommy Turtle, I had a great time writing this one. Well, I had a great time writing Davy's Dragon Castle, too. But this one, Tommy Turtle, kids like to be, they're shy. Oftentimes they're shy and whips. I wanted to put out a book because school will be starting back up, preschool, kindergarten, even first grade. And so I wanted to put something out about shyness and that it's okay and normal for a child to be shy, but also how they can help them come out of their shell. And Tommy, of course, being a turtle, he would hide inside his shell. That's what he did. And lots of kids are shy around other children and adults, teachers, and they don't necessarily want to play or speak. They just want to watch and see what's going on. But the fact is, kids need to develop social skills to increase their quality of life through being able to not be shy. And so eventually Tommy does is he ends up being making a big splash in the water and going ahead and doing what the other turtles were doing in the park, and he overcame his shyness and started having a lot of fun and with the other turtles. And then what he ended up doing is that then he decided that he himself was going to help other shy turtles when he met them, when he would meet them. But see, he was new to the area, new to the park. His family had just moved there. And so it really, it's done in a fun way. And the turtles are colorful and there's water splashes. And it's just, it's just, it really, you know, because parents and teachers struggle with shyness in children too. They don't necessarily want to talk and everything. Or they're nervous about being put on the spot. And so it's just a way to help draw them out and let them know that shyness is normal. And so I think that it's a book that hopefully I'll be doing readings on it this fall when school resumes for lower kindergarten and preschools is what I hope to do.
I like the concept of a turtle helping kids come out of their shells.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I was seriously shy. So, I mean, I can relate to that.
Yeah, I was shy, too. I was like, okay, I was so shy. I'm like, when they're going to choosing teams for dodgeball, I would be the last person picked. Now, I got out of my shyness, obviously.
Yeah, I remember dodgeball. You can't play that at school anymore these days, but I remember back in the day.
Back in the day, back in the day, unfortunately, back in the day, girls wore dresses in gym class and everywhere else. That was a thing until 1970, and you got to have other things to wear, but it was dresses in the 60s. And that makes me sound old, doesn't it?
Before we came on, we were talking about, and Joe Conjo also mentioned this, your Pinterest board. You have a special Pinterest board. Why don't you share something about that?
Well, I started off just doing my books and a few books here and there, and not really letting anybody know what I was doing. And I have on my Pinterest, I have different books. I have different boards. So I have one for books for children and just different things. And I have books worth reading. That is, I have that. And I'm going to, I already forgot. There it is.
You forgot the number?
I tagged you guys in it. But it had, out of this morning, it had 72,250 books pinned to the Book Worth Reading book board, which I tagged you both in on Twitter 1 hour ago so you could see the screenshot.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's just a lot of books. Now, it's not going to be 72,250 different books, because there's going to be, because I also pin author photos. If they've got them, I pin their headers on Pinterest because it shows, usually those have more than one book in them. The ones that apply, those I all pin. And it's gone over really well, and it's unbelievable to be, it's the largest book board in the world on Pinterest.
Wow.
Books worth reading, and it's under at Mariel Schmidt.
Okay, books worth reading.
And books worth reading is the board name, and it is. It's the biggest one in the world, and I started to realize that back a while back that there's nobody else has this. You know, even though some of the books are repeats, it's still the biggest in the world. And so I can lay claim to something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we'll have to check that out. So, Mary, it's been great talking to you twice now. We've had you on the show two different times. You obviously know your way around the publishing industry, writing, illustrating, doing the promotional things, making your own videos, getting out there on social media. You're working all cylinders on keeping this engine firing, and we admire and respect that. Do you have any advice for authors out there in the audience?
Well, you know, if they're just starting out, what you really need to do is just get your story down. Don't worry about the readability. Don't worry about, well, am I saying this right? Am I saying that wrong? Get your story down, because you can fine-tune it afterwards. But just put it down. Get it down in the computer, or if you want to use pen and paper, do it that way. Also, I think that it's good that if whether you use a phone or you carry a tablet or something, but oftentimes ideas for books come when you're out in the public or you're at a coffee shop. Write those things down, because you're not going to remember everything. So it's really, I think it's important to write those ideas down. Also, it is good to, you know, you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover. And I am guilty that some covers stand out to me. And I really like them. Others, they're not so much. But I tend to read books that have a cover that looks pretty good. It looks cool, whether it's a sci-fi or I read almost every genre. So I think I'm at 65 books read so far this year.
Wow.
Wow.
Now, Mary, how can people find you on social media? Do you have a blog, website? Facebook, Instagram,
I have a blog, and it's whenangelsfly.net. Whenangelsfly.net has links to my art gallery. It has links to Twitter. It has links to everywhere. Facebook, Pinterest, you name it. The links are all there. All the books are on it. I have the memoirs are under a memoir category, and children's books are under children's books. And so it's all there. And then I've started designing book covers, so I've got some nice one is all laid out. People can check those out too. But everything, there's a link for everything on the blog. So you can go to Amazon, or you can read about any book or whatever you want to do. Whenangelsfly.net. That's go there and you got everything.
Whenangelsfly.net. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good, easy launching point. So we've been talking to Mary Schmidt. She writes as Mary Schmidt, Mary L. Schmidt, M. Schmidt, and S. Jackson in particular. The books we've been talking about are When Angels Fly, a memoir of the tragic saga of having to go through dealing with fighting cancer with her young son and eventually losing him, and Sammy, Hero at Age 5, which tells Sammy's story, but from the point of view of Sammy himself at the age of 5. And a couple of children's books, Baby's Dragon Castle and Tommy Turbo. Mary has 30-odd books out there, I believe. Get out there and check them out. Subscribe to our newsletter. Keep up with what she's putting out. Go check out that video over on YouTube as well. Mary, it's been a treat having you on. We really appreciate it, and thanks.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah. Now, next week, we're going to have author Mark Schultz. He's got some cool how-to books, including How to Build a Paddleboard, which I'm looking forward to learning more about. And who we got after that, Beam?
After that, on the 29th, we have Richard Bell. And Richard Bell is going to be episode number 100. So we'll have the Screaming Goats to celebrate that one.
100.
And, yeah. And after that, we have I have three more lined up, but I don't have them scheduled in yet. They've all agreed, so I just have to set the dates for those. And by next week, we'll have the full list of who's coming up for all of July. So tune in next week to find out.
And as always, we have a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. If you want to talk to us, get over there. If you want to get a note to Mary Schmidt and you don't have a better way and can't remember whenangelsfly.net, get over and use our contact form. We'll make sure Mary hears from you. Thanks again, Mary. Thanks, everybody. We look forward to seeing you next week. We're going to play one more commercial for another children's book on the way out. This is by a series, actually, of children's books by Gracie Bradford. We didn't publish these, but we made her video for her. We like Gracie. These are good books. Pay attention, and we'll see everybody next time.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Sean, and I'm 10. Ladybird is my beagle. Right from the start, I knew she had special powers. And that we could share secrets. I was the coolest kid at school before the accident hurt my ability to see. Then, I became a kid with special needs. I was not always close friends with the kids I started calling feel, hear, touch, and taste. I mean, we would play sometimes, but then I needed help learning a new way of life that takes friendship and trust. Lady Bird helps a lot, especially since she has special needs too. Lady Bird understands how each of us has our own challenges to rise above. I would really like to tell you about Lady Bird and what she does for my friends and me. Our story is in the book, Lady Bird, Sean's Sixth Sense, by Gracie Bradford. Gracie is a really cool grandma who writes these I Am stories about kids finding new ways to be their best. You should check out Gracie Bradford's book. A great one to start with is the one with me and the world's coolest dog, Lady Bird, Sean's Sixth Sense.
Been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.